بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've been studying different characteristics of the community of Ahlul Bayt, and we said based on the Quran and Hadith, a very important characteristic is to enjoin the good and prohibit the bad. There are questions about the significance of this, because sometimes we feel that maybe this is something important but not that important that we interfere in the lives of other people, you know, talk to them, or you know, we feel not comfortable. Or sometimes we see that there are people who do it in a bad way, and sometimes they bring more, you know, harm than good. So inshallah, tonight I'll continue the discussion about Amr Ma'ruf, and the discussion consists of explaining the significance of Amr Ma'ruf. So we continued with the hadith that we started, then I mentioned the concept of Ma'ruf, and then inshallah, if time permits, I refer to the some of the rulings of Grand Ayatollah Sistani about Amr Ma'ruf, so that you see this is actually part of our fiqh. It's not just a moral advice. Regarding hadith, in addition to the hadith we have said already, there are many other hadiths. One hadith is from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The late Qutb al-Rawandi in his book Fiqh al-Quran has mentioned this hadith, and this is man amara bil ma'ruf wa naha anil munkar fa huwa khalifatullah fil ard wa khalifatu rasulih. I don't think there is any way to honor better than this the people who do Amr Ma'ruf. Rasulullah said, if someone enjoins the good and prohibits the bad, he is the vicegerent of Allah on the earth. And he is the vicegerent of the Prophet, the deputy or the successor of the Prophet. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights over us. Of course, these rights are not like the rights that people have over each other. The rights of Allah over us are real, are based on existential reasons. We owe everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not something coming because of contract or because of reciprocation. It's real, and we totally owe everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, what happens is that people forget or become careless about observing the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who try to remind others about these rights and ask them to observe the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in a sense helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in receiving these rights. Of course, in the end of the day, we know that all this is for our own benefit and for the benefit of other people. Allah doesn't gain anything, but he has to be obeyed, he has to be listened to, and this is what the people who do Amr Ma'ruf are doing. If you remember this beautiful sentence in Ziyarat Ali Yasin, when we address Imam Zaman as Khalifatullah, we say, As-salamu alayka ya Khalifatullah wa nasira haqqihi. So Khalifatullah is the one who helps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by asking people to observe the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ya Khalifatullah wa nasira haqqi. In the way that Hujjah of Allah is the sign, the guide for understanding the will of Allah, the Khalifa is the one who helps Allah in receiving his due rights. As-salamu alayka ya Hujjatullah wa dalila iradati. The Hujjah of Allah is the guide for understanding the will of Allah, and Khalifatullah is the one who says, okay, observe, ask, act according to the will of Allah, give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he deserves. So Rasulullah said, man amara bil ma'roof wa naha anil munkar fa huwa khalifatullah fil ard wa khalifatu rasulih. So this shows you can be so close to Allah and Rasulullah if you observe this important requirement. As you know, Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam in his final will also said, you know, Imam had some recommendations, some instructions, and he said to his two sons, and then of course he said, whoever receives my, you know, message. One was, kuna lil-zalim khasma wa lil-mazloom auna. Always you must be a help for the people who are oppressed, and be against those who oppress. Just this little sentence can make us, you know, pioneers in human rights, you know, campaigns, you know, if we really act upon this and, you know, promote this. Then Imam said, Allah, Allah, fil jihad bi amwalikum wa anfusikum wa alsinatikum fi sabilillah. You must struggle, you must do your best by spending your money or giving your life or using your tongue so that people get closer to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La tatruku al-amra bil ma'roof wa an-nahya 'anil munkar. So although Imam is stricken, Imam is going to pass away very soon, but he knows that this is important for the community. So he said, do not stop doing amr al-ma'roof wa nahy al-munkar. Fayuballa alaykum shirarukum. If in a community or in a town or in a country or in the world, in any level, in family, if we don't do amr al-ma'roof, gradually bad people take over and you cannot stop them, because everything then has become normal, all the crimes have become normalized and naturalized. فَيُوَلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شِرَارُكُمْ. Then bad people among you will control. ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَ. Then you say, oh Allah, please help us against these zalimin, against these bad people, give us good leadership. فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ. But it will not be accepted. The dua will not be answered, because you are responsible for this situation. In another hadith, we have, this is also very beautiful, you know, from Rasulullah. Ala ukhbirukum an aqwamin laysu bi anbiya wala shuhada yaghbituhumun nas yawm al-qiyam. Shall I inform you about the people who are not included in the list of the prophets? They are not also martyrs, but everyone feel envious about them. بِمَنَازِلِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, because of the high situation, how, you know, positions they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورِ. They are on the pulpits of light. So Rasulullah says, shall I inform you who are these people? They are not prophets, they are not martyrs, but everyone wants to be or wishes to be one of them, because that's too late to be, join them. قِيلَ مَنْهُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. People said, who are they, Rasulullah? Please inform us. قَالَ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يُحَبِّبُونَ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. These are the people who make servants of Allah lovable to Allah. There's interpretation, it comes. The people who make people in such a quality that Allah then loves them. So they make people lovable to Allah. وَيُحَبِّبُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ They also make people love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they establish love between people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, the narrator says, people who were there, the companions who were listening, they said, okay, we understand how you can make people love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how can they make people lovable to Allah? Because when you speak about the favors of Allah, greatness of Allah, mercy of Allah, people love Allah. How can we make Allah love people? Rasulullah said, يَعْمُرُونَهُمْ بِمَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهِ وَيَنْهَوْنَهُمْ عَمَّا يَكْرَهُ اللَّهُ These are the people who do Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar. They ask people to do something that Allah loves and therefore Allah loves you. Stop doing something that Allah doesn't like so that if you do it, Allah doesn't like you. فَإِذَا أَطَاعُوهُمْ أَحَبَّهُمُ اللَّهِ So when people listen to such people, then they reach the position that Allah loves them. So it's very important if you can make people love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become so good, so nice, so pious that Allah loves them. Then you would have such a position that people on the day of judgment, they want to be one of you and like you. We have many other hadiths, but I stop here because we have many things to say. So there is no doubt among our ulama that Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahir Munkar are wajib. Like prayer, like fasting, these are wajib. As you know, our Furu'ad-Din also include Amr bin Ma'ruf, Nahir Munkar. This is not something as a, you know, if you do it, it's better. If you don't do it, no problem. It's really obligatory. And if we don't do it, then we are not just, we are not adil, we are not pious. So this is a very important thing that we have to observe. Now the question is, what is ma'ruf? What is munkar? Of course, inshallah, we will address it from a fiqhi and legal perspective, inshallah, perspective when I'm talking about Ayatollah Sistani's fatwas. But from a Quranic perspective, before we reach to that legal aspect, ma'ruf is something that is known. But in what sense? Means something that is known to be good, something which is pleasant, something which is appreciated. Munkar means unknown. But in what sense? It means something that people don't like, something which is ugly. So literally, initially, ma'ruf means known, but technically it means something which is known to be good. Munkar means unknown, means something which is not known to be among good things. Everyone says this is ugly, this is bad. So it's a matter of people understanding by their common sense what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong. If people are in the state of fitra that Allah has created them in, they themselves understand ma'ruf and munkar. You don't need to be taught what is ma'ruf and munkar. Most of the things we understand by ourselves. But the problem is that because we may act against our fitra, we may be bombarded by different, you know, views and, you know, propaganda and media, gradually then we lose our fitrah. We lose our God-given common sense. Even sometimes ma'ruf becomes munkar, munkar becomes ma'ruf. If you look at this beautiful ayah, I very much love this ayah among, of course, many other ayahs, but especially because this ayah is a great lesson for people who want to tabliq in a non-Muslim society. Because it is about the beginning of the Ba'sa of the Prophet. And you know, Prophet didn't start with preaching Muslim. The Prophet started with calling non-Muslims to Islam and truth. This is chapter 7, verse 157. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي. Those who follow the messenger, the prophet who is ummi, either meaning he was not reading and writing, or meaning he is from Ummul Qura, from Mecca. الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل. In my understanding, they had this quality as a quality for the prophet of Akhir Zaman. This fact of being ummi was known to them, that he is ummi. He has not been to any school or any university or any college or seminary. If he has any knowledge, it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they find this registered, documented in Torah and Injil. And you know, today we have difficulty in finding this, because after so many centuries of, you know, changes, different translations, you know, editions, you know. But interestingly, no one at that time came to Rasulullah and said, you know, what you say is not in our Torah or Injil. There is no record that anyone went to Rasulullah and said, you know, this is not true. So it was obvious for them. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. The very first thing that this Rasul does, the very first thing, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. He says, do good things. Very natural, very clear, very straightforward. Do good things. At that time, Sharia was not yet legislated. You know, many rulings came gradually. To begin with, what was Rasulullah saying? Was saying, don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't tell lies. Don't steal. So these are all ma'ruf, and everyone was understanding. Rasulullah was asking to do these things. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He says, you know, do good things, be kind, be honest, be respectful to your parents, don't do those crimes. مَعْرُوف, مُنْكَر, everything was clear. It doesn't say يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْوَاجِبَاتِ يَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْحَرَامِ, because wajib and haram are two technical terms for the people who are already introduced to Sharia, people who are already Muslim, already religious. If I say people observe wajibat and they are not yet a Muslim or, you know, religious person, saying, what is wajibat? Why I should do this? But Rasulullah was not saying this. Rasulullah was asking them to do ma'ruf. Keep your promise. You don't need to be a religious person to understand this. Not annoy people, not harm people, especially those who are vulnerable. Don't hurt a child, don't hurt a woman, an old person. These are very clear. On the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein said something very important. When Imam saw that they are attacking the tents, he said, "Ellam yakun lakum deen." If you don't have any religion, so I cannot ask you as a Muslim to do these things. وَلَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادِ. And you don't know, you don't feel, you don't believe in Akhirah. You don't think that you have to be answerable to Allah. Okay, you don't have any religion, you are not accountable in front of Allah. Then Imam said, فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. At least be free people, noble people. So at least do ma'ruf and refrain from munkar. Do what by your common sense you understand. When I am in front of you, you must want, if you want anything, come to me. If you want to fight, if you want to do anything, come to me. Why you are attacking ladies and children? What logic is this? Kunu ahraran fi dunya. This is one of the things that, you know, confirms what I said, you know, one of the nights, that Imam Hussein is very much emphasizing on human conscience. To understand Imam Hussein's logic, you don't need to be a Muslim. You don't need to be a Shia. If you are a human being, in the God-given nature that you have been given by Allah, your fitrah is still working, you have sympathy with Imam Hussein. You don't need to be a Muslim. You don't need to be educated. So Rasulullah started asking people to do ma'ruf and refrain from munkar. يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. It's very beautiful. Rasulullah said, all the tayyibat are halal for you. وَيُحَرَّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. He never said something which is good is haram because he wanted you to suffer. He said, don't eat, for example, blood. Don't drink blood. Don't eat, you know, blood or najas or, you know, alcohol. These are the things which are khabis. These are the things which are harmful. Even the Quran is so fair that sometimes says there might be some benefits in these things, but the overall balance is bad. يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما اسم كبير ومنافع للناس. There are some benefits, but overall is bad. You know, so fair is Quran. It's also 100% bad. No, there are some good things in them, but overall is bad. So Rasulullah said, do tayyibat. Marriage is tayyib. So Islam didn't say you shouldn't marry, you should be celibate. But Islam says zina is khabis. You shouldn't do adultery or fornication. And those who do marriage, they are tayyib, they can marry each other. At-tayyibatu li-tayyibin. Those who are not committed to this tayyib, they are khabis and they suit each other. They cannot marry good people. So, يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرَّمُ عَلَيْهُمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. So in Islam, if anything is halal, it's because it is tayyib. If anything is haram, because it's khabith, it is unpleasant. Very simple. If me and you had the knowledge that Allah has and Rasulullah was given by Allah, we were not in need of Sharia. We were ourselves understanding everything. Sharia is to help us to understand, because we don't have that knowledge so that we understand what is behind these legislations. This is why some ulama say that all the religious instructions are indeed irshadat ila ahkam an aqliyah. These are only indicating something that you can rationally understand, provided that you have the information. If you have data, you would understand why you shouldn't eat pig, why you shouldn't drink alcohol. You don't have enough information, otherwise you would understand everything exactly as we have in fiqh. Yes, sometimes with some nations, Allah wanted to make life difficult for them because of zulm that they did. فَبِظُلْمٍ مِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. Allah says, some of the Bani Israel, they did so much zulm that we made some tayyibat haram for them. حَرَّمْنَا طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. Because Allah wanted to punish them. But when it comes to Islam, Allah didn't want to make us suffer. Everything tayyib is halal. Everything khabis is haram. So Rasulullah is the one who asked people to do good things, right things, and keep away from bad things. Those things which are pleasant, he says it is halal, it's permissible, you can eat, you can drink, you can do. Those things which are bad, you don't like, you don't do it. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Rasulullah is a man who has come to liberate humanity. Humanity in the time of Jahiliyyah was under pressure, under burden. Ignorance, superstitious ideas, shirk, the politics of Quraysh, which wanted to enslave people and benefit from them to serve them, were making too much pressure on humanity. They were chained up. They were not able to move. They were not able to breathe. They were not able to understand. They were not even able to have education. The number of people who were able to read and write in that society was less than fingers of one person. The way they treated women, the way they treated children, slaves, visitors, all of them are well documented in the books. So people were suffering. Rasulullah came as a person who wanted to liberate people. He didn't come to put pressure on people. Unfortunately, sometimes either because we have not been introduced Islam in a proper way, or we are misinformed, we think that if you follow Islam, then you are very restricted. Islam is restricting you. Islam is against your freedom and liberty. This is not the case. Islam has come to free us, to liberate us. And Rasulullah is the pioneer in liberating humanity. Who is more free than Salman, than Abu Zar, than Ammar, than companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Imam Hussein said, I want to offer you freedom. Kunu ahraran fi dunya. Amirul Mu'minin said, La takun abda ghayrik, qad ja'alaka Allahu hurra. Do not be a slave of someone who is like you. Another person who is like you. Allah has created you free. Islam gives us freedom. What is freedom? Some people, make a mistake here. Once I read this on a magazine, I very much liked it. It was actually a Christian magazine, but it was very nice. It said, freedom is not to be able to do what you like. Freedom is to be able to do what you should do. What I should do for my benefit, for my family, for my society, what I should do, if I am able to do, that is freedom. If you don't let me to do what I am benefiting from, so I have no freedom. But if I say freedom is to do what I like, okay, there are many mischief that I may like to do. This is not freedom. So Rasulullah came to free people so that they do what they should do, what they can benefit from, what can give them happiness in dunya and akhirah. So yada'u anhum israhum wal aghlal allati kanat, all the chains and locks which were chaining up humanity, Rasulullah removed them. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So those who believe in this man, man of virtue, man of makarim al-akhlaq, man of freedom, and help him and support him and follow what? Follow the book which has been sent with him, the Quran, which is light. وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورِ. This Quran is light. These are the people who are happy. These are the people who have had falah and salvation. May Allah inshallah include us among them. So ma'roof is something which is good, which is right, which is supposed to be done, and munkar is opposite. Of course, after you receive guidance from Islam, after you are introduced to Sharia, you can have much more elaborate account and understanding of ma'ruf. You can have a detailed account of ma'ruf and munkar from Sharia. That helps us to refine and get more accurate understanding of Sharia. So now I want to refer to the section on Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al-Munkar in the manual. All our maraja have this in their Risale, but this is according to Ayatollah Sistani, Hafadahullah. So he starts with an introduction. And he says, Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al-Munkar are two of the greatest obligations. Two of the greatest religious obligations. Then he refers to the ayah that we discussed, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا الْخَيْرُ وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفُ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Then he quotes a hadith from Rasulullah. You know, when a marja quotes a hadith, it's very important. It means that this hadith is 100% verified by marja. لَا تَزَالْ أُمَّتِي بِخَيْرُ مَا أَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَّهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ. Rasulullah said, my community, my nation will be always in right condition as long as they do amr ma'roof and they prohibit munkar and help each other to do good. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ. They help each other, they assist each other for doing good. فَإِذَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ. If they don't do this, نُزِعَتْ عَنْهُمُ الْبَرَكَاتِ. Allah will take away His blessing. Then you would see there would be poverty. There would be so many disasters. There would be tyrant governments. وَسَلَّتَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ نَاصِرٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Then Allah will make bad people rule them. Then they would have no helper in on this earth nor in the sky. Then he quotes the section from Amir al-Mu'mineen's will that I mentioned, you know, in the end of his life. Then the first mas'ala is this. Amr ma'roof and nahi an munkar are wajib when that ma'roof is obligatory. You know, sometimes someone doesn't do something which is mustahab or does something which is makruh. Here it is good to recommend to do mustahab, but it is not wajib. But if that ma'roof is obligatory, then amr bil ma'roof becomes obligatory. So depending whether that ma'roof or munkar are necessary or recommended to be done or not to be done, then amr bil ma'roof becomes wajib or mustahab. Then Agha adds that this is wajib kifai. This is responsibility of entire community. But if some of them do this wajib, then the rest would be relaxed. But if no one does this, all of them are responsible. All of them have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why none of us did this. Then Agha says that when munkar is done or ma'roof is not done, although some people should do amr ma'roof, but everyone should show his or her dislike. You cannot say, okay, few people would, you know, show dislike, it's enough. When it comes to a matter of showing disapproval and dislike, everyone should do this. And then he quotes from Amir al-Mu'mineen that Rasulullah said, when you meet people who commit sin, your face must show that you are not happy. That you are not happy with the sin that they commit. Then he makes a very important point. He says, when you are doing Amr al-Ma'roof wa Nahi an al-Munkar, you must also consider the personality of that person, the position and status of that person. You know, maybe that person is older than you. Maybe that person is a person who is, you know, very respected in community. So observe that and do it in the way that would not be insulting that person. Because, you know, we do this for the sake of good. We don't want, you know, to find, you know, problems in people and say, you know, I am better than you. Our purpose is to improve. So if someone is a person who is very, you know, old or very, you know, prestigious or very respected, you should know how to handle this issue without insulting him. Especially you shouldn't do this in front of people, because we don't want to harm anyone. And then also Agha says that you must not do it in a very rigid and harsh way, so that person would totally then start hating religious people and religion. You know, sometimes a person has a problem with one issue, but then you make it so big that he would start hating all ulama and all, you know, religious people. So you have to be careful about this. Then
He mentions few conditions and few stages. So one is that you should yourself know ma'ruf and munkar. This is actually leading us to the next topic that inshallah I'm going to talk from tomorrow, that a community of Ahlul Bayt is a community which is knowledge based. This is very important. Inshallah we will talk about it. So you should know ma'ruf and munkar. At least you should have some knowledge. Maybe you don't need to be a scholar. You don't need to have done lots of research. But at least you should be aware of what you are saying to people. But then, Agha says, this doesn't mean that you don't have responsibility to learn. So there are certain issues that you have to go and learn. So for example, if my child is not observing hijab properly, I cannot say, I don't know this, so I have no responsibility. So you have to go and check what are the requirements for hijab, and then you tell to your child or people that are in your reach. So one important thing is to know ma'ruf and munkar. Another important requirement is to see that there is a possibility of having some impact, some influence, some effect. If you are 100% sure that it is useless, then you don't say it. It is not necessary. But Agha says it is ihtiyat wajib that even if you are 100% sure, you still show that person that you are not happy. You express your disapproval. But here I have to add something. Sometimes because we are either pessimistic or lazy, we always say, no, there is no point. Useless. To make life easy for ourselves, we say it's useless. But who said it's useless? When Allah says to Musa and Harun, speak to Fir'aun, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ وَيَخْشَى, so I cannot say it's useless to talk to people. You should try it. So if you are really, really sure that it is useless, maybe then you don't need to do lots of things, but you should be optimistic. Inshallah, it will work, especially if I say, then tomorrow another person says, then another person says. The third condition is that that person must be insisting on this. Sometimes a person, for example, doesn't remember. A lady is passing by, she is a mu'mina, but some pieces of hair is visible. It's not that she's insisting on this. So this is not wajib to go and say, your hair is visible. Or sometime, a person forgot to say his prayer. We were traveling, he forgot. It's not that he's insisting on not saying prayer. So if that person is not insisting, it's not wajib. Another thing is that that person must not have excuse. If he has an excuse which is legitimate, then it is not wajib. But if that ma'ruf or munkar are among those things which are fundamentally important in Islam, then even if he says, I have excuse, I have to do amr ma'ruf, like what Imam Hussein did. Or if, for example, as we say, it shouldn't have any considerable harm for you, but sometimes ma'ruf is so important that even it leads to being harmed, you have to be ready for that. So it depends on the amount of significance and importance of that ma'ruf. For certain ma'ruf, even giving life is not too much. But if it is a normal, for example, if I say to this person, you should, pay your khums, then he will, for example, either kill me or my children. So this is not that wajib. So depending on what is the level of risk and the level of significance of that ma'ruf. So that person must not have excuse unless the issue is very important. And also it should not lead to any harm for you, for your money, for your life, for your reputation, or for the people that are also not necessarily you are harmed, but for example your children, other mu'minin are harmed, unless it is very, very important. Then Agha mentions there are different levels. One is to dislike in your heart and show disapproval. Second is to say by your tongue. And the third, if the first two levels don't work, because we go gradually, we don't start with the last level. If the first two doesn't work, then you may be required to do something physically. For example, to stop that person. Maybe there is a need to report that person. So there are many different things that you may be required. Inshallah, refer to Risala and find these. And in Mas'ala number 4, Agha says that the necessity of Amr bin Ma'ruf with respect to your family and those who are close to you becomes even more. You have greater responsibility for your family. Allah says in the Quran, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us and our community, inshallah, to observe this great obligation, and that is Amr Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar. We remember tonight Hazrat Ali Akbar. And as you know, Hazrat Ali Akbar was a very, very special person, a person who resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his appearance. He looked very much like Rasulullah in his speech and in his akhlaq. Such an exceptional person. So we hope that inshallah our majlis tonight would be inshallah pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we would be blessed inshallah.
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwa'i allati hallat bifna'ik. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبغي الليل والنار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. According to some books, the first member of Bani Hashim who went for battle was Ali Akbar. An imam was very quick in giving him permission because he was his own son. But it was so difficult for imam that as soon as Ali Akbar went towards battlefield, رفع الحسين سبابته نحو السماء. He pointed with his finger to his sky and said, اللهم اشهد على هؤلاء القوم. O Allah, be a witness upon these people. فقد برز إليهم غلام أشبه الناس خلقا وخلقا ومنطقا برسولك. A youth is going to them who resembles your prophet the most in appearance, in character, in speech. كنا إذا اشتقنا إلى نبيك نظرنا إلى وجهه. Whenever we meet Rasulullah, we desired looking at the face of Prophet. We looked at him. اللهم امنعهم بركات الأرض وفرقهم تفريقا. ومزقهم تمزيقا واجعلهم طرائق قددا ولا ترض الولاة عنهم أبدا فإنهم دعونا لينصرونا ثم عدوا إلينا يقاتلوننا Oh Allah, we told away your bounties of the earth from them. I caused dissension among them and scattered them. Do not make them earn the pleasure of those who rule over them, because they invited us to assist us. But then they started fighting and killing us. Then Imam Hussein started addressing Umar al-Sa'd and said, Ma laka qata'allahu rahmak. What has happened to you? May Allah terminate your progeny. La barakallahu laka fi amrak. May Allah not bless you in your efforts. وَسَلَّتْ عَلَيْكَ مَنْ يَذْبَحُكَ بَعْدِي عَلَىٰ فِرَاشِكَ. May Allah raise someone to kill you and behead you in your bed after me. كَمَا قَتَعْتَ رَحِمِي وَلَمْ تَحْفَظْ قِرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Because you have ripped my womb, you have killed my son, you didn't consider the sanctity of Rasulullah. Then Imam Hussein started saying, Inna Allah astafa Adam wa Nuhan wa Ala Ibrahim wa Ala Imran ala al-alamin. ذرية بعضها من بعض والله سميع عليم. Perhaps Imam was comforting himself by reciting this ayah. Ali Akbar went for battle, started introducing himself in this way. أنا علي بن الحسين بن علي من أصبة جد أبي النبي. I am Ali, the son of Hussein, the son of Ali Abi Talib. I am from a group whose grandfather is Rasulullah. والله لا يحكم فينا ابن الدعي. أتعنكم بالرمح حتى ينثني. By Allah, the son of the illegitimate one shall not have command upon us. I am going to fight with this sword until it bends. أضربكم بالسيف أحمي أن أبي. ضرب غلام هاشمي علوي. I am going to defend my father with my sword. My attack is attack of a young Hashemi Alawi. He started fighting and killing enemies, and despite his death, it is said that he killed 120 people, but he was so thirsty, so tired, so wounded, he wanted to gain some energy, he went to his father, Imam Hussein. He said, Ya Abatil Atashu Qad Qatalani. وَثِغْلُ الْحَدِيدِ أَجْهَدَنِي. Oh father, thirst is killing me, and the load of iron is exhausting. فَهَلْ لِيَ لَا شُرْبَةٍ مِّن مَاءٍ سَبِيلٍ أَتَلْقَوَّى بِهَا عَلَى الْأَعْدَاءِ. Is there any water available so that I may regain strength and energy and attack the enemies? Then Imam Hussein cried, he said, Ya Bunayya, Я изуала Мухаммада ва ала Али ибн Аби Талиб ва алай ан тадува фа ла яджибу. By Allah, it's difficult for the Prophet, for Amirul Mu'minin and me that you ask for something and I cannot give you. Then he said, Ya Bunaya, hatil lisanaka. My dear son, remove your tongue out. فَأَخَذَ بِاللِّسَانِهِ فَمَسَّهُ. Then Imam Hussein placed the tongue of Ali Akbar in his mouth and suckled it. Then he gave his ring and put in the mouth of Ali Akbar and said, Erji ila qital aduwwak. Go back to fight your enemies. فَإِنِّي أَرْجُو أَنَّكَ لَا تُمْسِي أَدَّى يَسْقِيَكَ أَجَّدَّكَ بكأس الأوفى شربة لا تظمأ بعد أبدا. I hope that inshallah before this day finishes you will be given a cup of water from Rasulullah and you will never become thirsty after that. The poet says there is a question: if Ali Akbar was thirsty, why he went back to Hussein? He knew that Hussein had no water. In Sualist, agar bud Ali teshneye ab, bud dar teshme furat ab ravan moj zanash. If he was only interested in water, he could have gone towards Euphrates. Why he went towards his father? Perhaps he was thirsty for something else. Atashehu, atashe la'le labe bababud. Ke magar baz damad ruh velayat betanash. He was thirsty to kiss Hussein again, to put his lips on the lips of father, to receive the spirit of Velaya from Hussein again. Shah gereftash bebaro nalezad zuzet zigar. Hussein embraced him and cried, Sharare dil zedahan sarzad jaye sukhanash. Instead of being able to say anything, he is crying. Goft bogzar zabanat bedahan bargira. به مکم سیر که آبی رسد از قلب منش. Let me put your tongue in my mouth so that something from my heart comes to you. بوسه زد بر لب فرزند و ز عشق خجلت آب می داد به پژمرد گل نسترنش. He kissed the lip of Ali Akbar. He had no water to give, but by his tears was giving water to his own flower, Ali Akbar. So Ali Akbar went back to battlefield. He changed his motto. He said, Al-harbu qad banat lahal haqa'iqu. وَذَهَرَتْ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا مَصَادِقُ. The realities for the battle have become apparent. Everyone knows the truth today. وَاللَّهِ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ وَاللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ لَا نُفَارِقُ. جُمُوعَكُمْ أَوْ تُغْمَدُ الْبَوَارِقُ. By Allah, the Lord of the throne, we are not going to leave this battlefield. We are continuing to fight you until the swords are broken and covered. Then he started fighting again till enemy Munghazab ibn Murra attacked Ali Akbar. He hit the head of Ali Akbar, and then some others with their swords attacked Ali Akbar. He was not able to control himself, so he embraced the neck of his horse. But فَهْتَمَلَهُ الْفَرَاسِ إِلَىٰ أَسْكَرِ الْأَعْدَاءِ. But mistakenly the horse took him to the camp of Umar Sa'd. فَقَدَّعُوهُ بِسُيُوفِهِمْ إِرْبَانْ إِرْبَانْ. Then everyone started attacking, and they made body of Akbar into pieces. When he was dying, he tried to raise his weak voice and said, Ya Abata, Ada Jadi Rasulullah. Oh Father, as you said, Rasulullah has come. قَدْ سَقَانِي بِكَاسِ الْأَوْفَى. He has already given me water from his overflowing cup. شُرْبَةً لَا أَزْمَهُ بَعْدَ أَبَدَى. I am sure that I will never become thirsty. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ. And Rasulullah is telling me, Al-Ajal, Al-Ajal, come quickly to me, come quickly to me. When Hussein heard this, he said, قَتَلَ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا قَتَلُوكَ مَا أَجْرَهُمْ عَلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَعَلَى رَسُولِهِ. May Allah kill your killers, Ali Akbar. How daring they are. Then he said, عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَكَ الْأَوَافَى. Woe be upon this world after you. Then something very strange happened. Lady Zainab, who was worried about Imam Hussein and didn't want Hussein to see the body of Akbar, so quickly rushed to the battlefield that before Hussein reaching Ali Akbar, she reached there and put herself on the body of Ali Akbar. Hamid ibn Muslim says, كأني أنظر إلى امرأة خرجت مسرعة كأنها الشمس طالعة. I saw a lady went so quickly as a rising sun towards the body. تنادي بالويل والثبور يا حبيبا. يا سمرة فؤادا يا نور عينا. She says, I ask, who is this lady that is so much crying and lamenting? Is she the mother? Who is she? They said, this is her aunt Zainab. فجاء الحسين فأخذ بيدها فردها إلى الفسدان. Hussein went and took the hand of Zainab and escorted her towards the tent. And because was not able to carry the body of Ali, said, O youths of Bani Hashim, احملوا أخاكم. Come and take the body of Ali Akbar. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. يا حسين يا حسين. علي علي.